Cleaning Nation. Welcome to another episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. I want to take a quick moment to thank you for sharing the show, for all the fantastic reviews on iTunes, for all the kind and loving feedback I personally get from you guys on our Facebook group, over email. You guys are just amazing, and gals, of course. If you're listening to the podcast, make sure to check out and subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you're watching us on YouTube, feel free to take us on the road by subscribing to the podcast. No matter where you're listening from, growmycleaningcompany.com is where you're going to get all the stuff that you need. I just put up an amazing video just for you. If you dig the show, you're going to love growmycleaningcompany.com. Today, we are chatting with a return guest, Michelle Reed with Michelle Reed Cleaning. Michelle has been serving the residential market in Tulsa, Oklahoma for the last 14 years. Michelle, welcome to the show. Or I should say, welcome back.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
My pleasure. So tell us a little bit about how you got in the business and where you are now, and then we'll jump into seeing if I can help you some.
Okay. Well, I got in the business by having a baby and needing a job.
That'll do it.
And I didn't have any, like, yeah, right? So it was kind of just taking what I knew how to do and what I already liked doing, which was cleaning, and going and getting paid for it. So, and I just loved it so much. I've been doing it ever since. Yeah, I took a couple breaks here and there, but I always went back to cleaning.
That's a theme I get with especially with the people that do their own cleaning. There's a lot of kind of, I did it for a couple of years. I took a couple of years off. Now I'm back. So that's fantastic. What's going on in your world today that can bring you some value and hopefully make your life and your business a little better?
Well, I'm fixing to make my first two hires, possibly three at one time. Well, I think you suggested last time I was to hire two at once. And just get right on to it. But it's a little bit scary because I like doing it myself. So, but my biggest question is, do I hire them as contract people or employees? Or I just get a lot of mixed opinions on that. And I know it's not really right or wrong, but
so let's jump.
That would be my question.
Let's back up a little bit, and then we'll hit you with that. So first and foremost, if you've been doing this 14 years and you are just kind of hiring your first employee, I want to make sure we don't have any kind of mental and emotional things stopping you. I'm not picking on you, but I think there's a lot of people. I know there's a lot of people in Cleaning Nation because I talk to y'all that have that, where it's kind of like, I have to do it myself. If I hire someone else, they're going to screw it up. I can't afford it. There's just a lot of fears around it. And I can answer all the technical side, and I will, about the W-2 versus 1099. But if you've got fear and kind of trepidation and there's some sort of mental or emotional block, it's not going to help. So tell me about what is different now than a year ago, 4 years ago, 14 years ago, that you've now decided hiring an employee is going to be beneficial and you're willing to overcome the scary part.
Okay. Well, it is a scary part. And I absolutely have those feelings of I can do it better. And I don't know if that's like the mom thing in me, like, here, let me fold your laundry because I can do it better. Let me scrub the toilet because I can do it right the first time. Or if that's just part of branching out with your business. But I've got that real bad. Like, I'm afraid people will do it right.
So
and then
let's talk about the
biggest thing is
real great, quick. What's the goals for your business? Because I don't want to coach you into doing something that's outside of what you're trying to accomplish. What are your goals for your business? What would you? Because there's nothing wrong with saying, I enjoy, if you like cleaning and you're making the income that you want to make and your life is as you want it to be, let's not hire anybody, right? I want to make sure, I guess before we start talking about how to hire people, let's make sure you want to hire people. If you love cleaning and you can do it better than others, why not just live the life that you've got now?
I have a very specific why, actually, and I'm part of really big moms groups on Facebook, and they are full of the best people I've ever met in my whole life. And we all kind of share similar ages, and our kids are different ages. And some of us went to college, and some of us didn't. That is where I get all of my clients from, almost. Like, I'm pretty sure all of my clients is from there. And that is where I get all of my workers from. Like, that's where I'll choose my workers from, because being a housekeeper fits into a school schedule. You can take a day off if you need to. You can work it around your kids' programs, and it's just
okay. So bring it back to the question.
I know it's great for guys too, but it's
so. How does that relate
awesome
to why
moms.
You
yes.
hold on? So how does that relate to why you are ready to hire employees as opposed to doing it yourself? And I promise we're going to get where you're at, but this is important. So just kind of play with me for a little bit. So I get you. So what I said, what has changed that you're actually ready to take your business to the next level and hire people. And you explained how you're part of a mom's group. Didn't, you know, see what I'm saying? That they tell me about how do those relate?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So last year when we talked, up until this year, I went through some pretty major life changes. Then through that time, it's kind of like digging through the mud and figuring out what I'm made of and what I'm capable of and what I'm not capable of. And I learned that there is a place for me to help other mamas.
Okay, there we go. So now
do the same kind of thing I'm doing.
So what I hear you saying is you want to provide income to other moms.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, perfect. And now let's come back to why that's important. So you made a really good analogy earlier. You said, maybe it's because I'm a mom. Maybe when I go to help my kid put on his clothes, and I've got an 18-month-old, so I'm living this sister, put on his clothes or clean his room or do anything, right? He's little and they've got little hands and they can't hardly work them. So it's so much easier to do it ourselves. And if our goal is to clean the room, we should just clean the room. Why waste our time with this little human that can't hardly work his hands and feet? But if our goal is to raise a well-adjusted member of society, it's totally different. So that's why we're spending so much time. So right now, if your commitment is truly to clean people's houses and do what you consider to be a good job and get that emotional fulfillment that you've been getting for give or take 14 years, if that's your goal, hiring employees is not going to work. If your true goal is to provide an income for women, just like with the kids, you know, we don't get frustrated when they can't do a good job because it's really okay if their bed isn't made or their clothes are on backwards. That's not the goal isn't to get them dressed. It's to teach them how to dress themselves. So that's huge.
Right.
Before you hire or do 1099 or whatever you're going to do, you've got to be in touch with, I am here. It's okay if my kid's room isn't clean all the time. And it's okay if we don't do the best job the first time and I have to coach and to develop and to do that because that's what I'm here for, right? We don't yell and scream at our kid and fire them because they didn't do a good job. We coach them, right?
Exactly.
Same thing. Okay.
I didn't know what I was doing at first either. So
nobody does.
I had to learn too.
Yeah, nobody's inherently born.
Right.
Okay, so that's the first and foremost thing. I would really focus on that connection personally of I am not here to clean this person's house. I'm here to provide an income for moms, including myself. You're a mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So as long as that's the why, we can figure out the what. So really come from that space of understanding what you're there for. Because as long as you think you're there to make this house clean personally and feel good about yourself and get paid, you're never going to move to hiring people because they will get in the way of that goal. But if your goal is to develop people and build an income and maybe even income that you don't have to, I shouldn't say you don't have to work for, but income that happens whether you're at work or on the beach or at home, then okay. So clearly, let's start with the goal. That said, if that is your goal to help women, including yourself or moms specifically, earn an income, well, then that's a whole different kettle of fish. And now we can kind of jump into what that looks like. So if that's your goal, I would hire and not go 1099. So the big difference is with the 1099 contractor, you don't control their time. They can kind of do what they want. They might be working for other people. They might be working directly for, they have all this freedom to do as they please. Your accountant is a 1099 contractor, right? He does accounting for other people and it's fine. And you don't say, I shouldn't say your accountant. If you have an in-house employee, of course, that's different. But your CPA that you send your books to every month or every year, that's a vendor. They're a 1099 employee. My clients that I work with, I am a 1099 employee. They don't go to their place and show up at 8 and make the coffee and open the door. That's not what I do.
Right.
And I work with other companies. So we are all 1099 contractors. The benefits to that, because I don't want to just come on, and my preference is always employees. I'll just tell you that right off the bat, but that doesn't mean that's the only right answer. Mm-hmm. The benefits of the 1099 contractors are there's no workers' comp, right? You don't have to worry about me paying my workers' comp or your CPA paying their workers' compensation. That's on them. There's a little less paperwork, so it's a little less onerous, but you don't have the control, right? You can't say, Mike, I don't want you coaching anyone else. I tell you to pound sand. You're not my employee. But if you hired me, you certainly could say, hey, you can't work for me as a consultant and then teach my competition. That's not how it works. So I have found most times that people trying to hire 1099 are trying to circumvent the law and say, well, I know you're really an employee and I want you to act like an employee. I want to treat you like an employee. I just don't want to pay you like an employee. Right. And I don't think that's not what I'd coach. But there are people that do it. I have clients that do it. So there's nothing morally wrong with it. Just understand 1099 contractors can kind of come and go a little more as they please. There's always a risk if you pay someone 1099 and get audited, the government can come in retroactively and say, no, we disagree. He was an employee. You owe him taxes for the last 5 years. Or even worse,
oh, no,
these 30 people were employees and you owe them tax. So you just want to make sure if you do hire 1099. Yeah, it's scary. So, and actually, I don't want to say end with this, but that'll transition into, you know, I am a podcast host who's owned businesses for the last 20 years. I am not an employment lawyer, certainly not in all 50 states or around the world, right? I've had most of my business has been conducted in, my brick and mortar business at least, has been conducted in Arizona. I'm pretty familiar with the laws in this state, but I'm still not an employment lawyer. So my coaching would be find an employment lawyer who's an expert who can, if you do go 1099, stand by you if and when you get audited. So you're not by yourself, because that's a scary thing. The government's going to come in and steamroll you. If you're not sure, or you just kind of don't want to risk it, so to speak, I would go W-2 employees, because the government's never going to audit you and say, these aren't 1099 employees, they're actual contractors. Give them their money back. That's that's not going to happen. So the safe bet is hiring employees. But really the only benefit to 1099 is you don't have to pay workers' compensation. But the problem is they're supposed to pay their own workers' compensation. And what if they don't and they get hurt? Now where do we go?
Right. Well, I like the employee thing better anyway, because then I can do uniforms and kind of make sure we're all on the same page across the board and do things like incentive-based.
And all that is possible. Okay, so I don't want to say possible. So again, I'm giving my opinion, not as a lawyer. So check with the lawyer in your state, because they're going to know your state's laws. Mm-hmm. That said, I don't know. You might be able to have 1099s wear uniforms, right? If I was going to coach you and you said, hey, Mike, if we're going to do video coaching, I'd rather you wear my polo shirt while you're coaching me. Okay. I don't know that makes me an employee. I don't know that it makes it doesn't.
Right.
Same with incentive-based coach or incentive-based pay. You can tell an employee or a 1099 contractor, here's all the work that we have. If we get all done, I'm going to bonus you. So I don't want you to think like, oh, mm-hmm. if they're 1099 as opposed to employees, I can't pay based on performance. I can't ask them to wear a uniform. I'm not saying that is the case. You absolutely can, but I'm pretty sure I don't see why not. It's more about, do you control their time? Can they work with other people? Do you control their supplies? If you say you must use these supplies and I'm going to do it, like you can drive a company car, you have to use my stuff. Those are all kind of highlights of an employee. But the big thing for you specifically, so that's kind of for Cleaning Nation in terms of here are my thoughts on that kind of debate in general. But let's talk about you specifically. If your goal is to enrich the lives of women, because I don't think they just need money, right? It sounds like this mom group that you're...
No, I could still keep cleaning forever.
Well,
I just want to also help all my friends.
Okay, so, but again, let's talk about that. So, well, first of all, I'll tell a story of a friend of mine who is a chiropractor and very successful businessman. And he had an office where he had, now he's got like a dozen chiropractors and a dozen medical doctors. And it's innovative, because if you go in, you know, in real world, you go to the chiropractor and they, no matter what it is, they're like, oh, you need adjustment. We need to fix it, right? And if you go to a doctor, a lot of times they're like, you need surgery or drugs. And no one wants to kind of work with the other. But with this thing, it's all together where you go in and whatever you need, they're going to help you because they've got chiropractors and MD. So they're working together. But anyway, all that to say, he became so successful. He started understanding if he gave adjustments, which he loved. Keep in mind, he spent, you know, I don't know what it costs to go to medical school, call it $100,000 and 10 years of his life learning the skill to physically be able to put his hands on another human being who is in pain. And 5 minutes later, they feel better, right? So I get what you're saying about cleaning and how that kind of there's that emotional. I love it. I'm that same way. Like, I started dirty and now it's clean. That sense of accomplishment.
Yes.
He had the same thing, right? This human being came in pain, and I was able to take all this experience and skill that I've spent so much time investing in, and I make them feel better with my hands. I mean, imagine how fantastic that would make you feel.
That would be amazing.
It'd be amazing. Yeah. So he loved it, right? It wasn't like cleaning where it's like, well, I love it now, but when I'm older, I may not be able to do this, or it's really hard on my body, or you know, there's not as much downsides with physically chiropractic. But he started realizing my business, my community needs me. If I'm going to serve more people, there's a lot of people out there that need this kind of care and are in pain and have gone to other people that haven't been able to help them. And if I'm going to be able to help these people, I don't know if he would say this, but it's almost selfish to keep adjusting people, right? Because when he's doing that, he can only help that one person
in a different way.
Right. But if he's hiring people and creating systems and building a culture and doing the things that only an entrepreneur do, And again, this is a medical doctor that spent 10 years. So if you feel like, oh, I'm the only one that knows how to clean, mm-hmm. I'm sure he has even more of the ability to say, I'm the only one that knows how to adjust like this, right? Because he spent, you know, so much time doing that.
Right,
so
right.
It's he was very clear on his why, which is I want to help more people. So he had to get to the point of, yes, I love adjusting people, but that serves me. And if I really want to serve my team that I put together, and they're all part of this vision of, I want to, you know, they all have this vision of wanting to help people. If he wants to serve that vision and that team and the community, he had to step back intentionally from adjusting people. And I think he still did like half of a day one, you know, and he just, that was kind of his thing. Like, I love it so much, mm-hmm. you know, from 8 to noon on Fridays, I'll see patients, but that's it. As a cleaner, I don't know that I've met anyone that loves cleaning that much, right? I would encourage you just to walk away and say, I am not serving my community of customers or employees by constantly being in the field cleaning, right? That would be like the pilot. I think I've used this example before in the show. The pilot, you know, sweeping up the bathrooms or cleaning the bathrooms. Like, he may feel good, like I'm helping out.
Right,
but
I do understand that.
Yeah, all the passengers are going
to
freak out.
The point where I just know that I could be happy either way. And that's the first for me. So that if it works, it's fine. But if not, I still have my skill set. I still have my customer base. So I'm just now to the point where I'm relaxed enough to move forward. And I'm not worried about everything like I was a year ago.
I want to encourage you the opposite way. Making that change is not easy. It's scary. You've got to trust other people. You've got to hire. You've got to tell your customers. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that are, I don't want to say painful, but uncomfortable about this transition. And if you're like, I could do it this way, I could do it that way, that's setting yourself up to fail. It's too hard. If you're like, I'd like to help other ladies, but I'm not really committed to it. I'd just as soon clean myself. Just clean yourself. I'm telling you now, it's going to be too much work. You're going to spend all this time trying to make the transition and you're going to fail.
Oh, I understand what you're saying.
So rip the Band-Aid, get uncomfortable cleaning, saying, I will not do this anymore. I'm not okay with it. Either I grow this business or I quit it. That's the kind of commitment that you need to make this change. If you're not that committed, you're like, I can clean, I could hire, doesn't matter to me. I've coached enough people to know how that story ends. I would encourage you to either. So it sounds like you're like, I'm going to 6 or 7 to hire. I could just as soon clean. Get to a 10 or
no,
a zero.
No. I actually have post-it notes around my apartment that say burn the boats so that I'm confident and I'm not scared anymore, but I know that I won't be cleaning anymore, like say however many months from now.
Wait, hold on, not however many months from now. Hold on,
like
hold
I'm
on.
Not going backwards.
Hold on, not however many months from now. There should be a number. 1 month, 2 months, because however many months could be 100 months.
It's 3 months, hopefully.
Okay, well,
what I'm shooting for is 3 months.
Well, hold on, I'm going to beat you up a little, not because
Is that bad?
Let me tell you what's bad.
You told me to be super aggressive last time. No,
3 months is fine. Most of the time when I'm coaching people, they do it in one. The 3 months isn't the problem. The problem is the hopefully I'm shooting for, maybe, those are all unacceptable. The right answer is I don't even want to say 3 months from today. We're recording this May 23rd. August 1st is the last day I will ever clean anything for my company ever, period. You see the power in that versus I'm shooting for a couple, some number of months from, three months. I'm shooting for three. That's not powerful. I didn't believe you. I hope maybe. That's not going to get you where you need to go.
Me?
I don't think you did. I don't think you did. I'm telling you, words indicate how you feel. If I went to my wife and went, baby, I love you. You're amazing. You're the best thing since whatever. You're not going to believe me, and I don't think I believe
you,
right?
She'd probably just turn around and walk away.
Or if I said, I think I might want to consider marrying you at some point in the future, some months. I'm going to shoot for 3 months. She's not going to be confident. If I said, woman, I love you. If you will have me, you will not be able to stop me from marrying you. And 3 months from now, we will be husband and wife. So help me God. I swear on my life. Do you see the difference in power?
Right, right.
So you've got to get where not only, you said, I believe me. I don't believe you do believe you, right? That verbiage does not indicate I'm shooting for something. Okay, well then get your words.
I do. I believe there's a place for like a quiet, spirited, confident, you know, instead of balls to the wall. And I tried to be balls to the wall all last year because you were so motivating. And then I just kept running into all these roadblocks because I would freak myself out. So I was
Did you end up hiring employees?
No, because of what was going on at the time.
Sure, but we've got to have a commitment in terms of. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to yell it. You don't have to scream it. God, you know, I'm just saying, And again, I feel like you're
right.
I want to love on you. I want to help you. And I'm only being so direct because I want to see good things for you. And I want to see Cleaning Nation. A lot of people say that you called in for coaching. Let me give you some coaching. I'm telling you 100% of the time when I hear people say some months in the future, they don't have a date, they don't have any months. And when I press them, they go, oh, okay, 3 months. That's what I'm shooting for. That's what I hope. Those are not the words.
That's my personal goal.
I know. Hold, let me finish. Let me finish. Those are not the people that hit their goals. Whether you say it loud or quiet or balls to the walls, as you would say, or however you say it, isn't as important as I could be quiet and go, Michelle, I will never clean again after August 1st. I'm giving you my word. There's no question in my mind. It doesn't matter what happens in my life. It doesn't matter whatever. I'll either drop dead or I'll stop cleaning. But under no circumstance will I clean. So do you see how that's quiet but confident? You keep saying, well, I'm saying it this way. This is my personality. I'm just telling you, someone that says, I don't know what date, this is my goal, I'm shooting for it, is not confident. We need to really work on that confidence where the verbiage flows out from that confidence, and the verbiage is, this is going to happen on this date, period. Okay. I don't want to go into that too much because we are already over time and I've been yapping it up. We're going to give you the opportunity to give back. We're going to hit you with a lightning round and I'm going to ask you 3 quick questions. You're going to have the opportunity to share 3 answers with Cleaning Nation. Question number 1, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Probably that I should relax and enjoy myself. And that was right at the beginning because I was cleaning for my grandma and she was not a pleasant lady and she had very high standards. And someone said, just start enjoying yourself, whether she's cranky or not. And I did. And I've loved it ever since.
Yeah. We certainly can't control what other people say, but yeah, you can absolutely control your response.
Right.
What's the biggest mistake you made in the cleaning business that we can all learn from?
Well, procrastinating and also spilling a whole bottle of Windex on somebody's hardwood floors.
Those are as bad as the Windex on the hardwood floor sounds. I think procrastinating will eat your lunch faster. So thank you for sharing that.
It has. I did. Yes.
Yeah, that'll kill you. Last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice right away that will improve their lives or their business? Big or small, just something they can implement pretty quick and easy.
I would say utilize the internet because things like this show and Facebook groups and finding other people who own cleaning businesses has been the biggest help. So just learn stuff.
Well, gosh, it's almost like I set you up, which I didn't, but I'm going to plug real quick. GrowMyCleaningCompany.com has all the resources, as well as we've got a Facebook group. I think there's like 1,600 members in. It's totally free. There are other resources. I'm not saying we're the only one, but I just, obviously, since this is my show, I want to give you the 2 that I'm familiar with right off the bat. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. Cleaning Nation, appreciate you. I appreciate you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Michelle's show notes page and check out the special video I made just for you, it's at growmycleaningcompany.com. Just like we said, I'll see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.